Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Okay, try then. There we go. Thank you to our tech guys. It's been one of those mornings, and we appreciate their persistence and expertise in getting us all sounded out for the morning. It is great to be with you here this morning in this beautiful, sunshiny Sunday. Thank you for your presence and your gifts today. This is a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We do that in many ways, some of which you've seen scrolling on the screen, some of which are in your bulletin and also on your connection cards. So if you would take a moment to get those connection cards out, fill those in, let us know you're here, but also let us know how we can connect you to what's going on here at the church. We have lots of stuff happening for the fall, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. Want to thank our worship staff this morning, Bob Hemphill, Carol Kaputska. Bruce Stark is going to be bringing us a message. Keep Pastor Lindsay and Pastor John in your prayers as they travel home from Nebraska. They were there to celebrate the life of Pastor Lindsay's grandmother. And so they will be on the road either today or tomorrow. So please hold them in prayer. And if you have other prayers, there are prayer cards in the pews for you to use for yourself or for someone you know who needs prayer. Also, the way to request a prayer quilt on those cards would be a great way. And also, if you don't know, there are prayer shawls down the main hall. You do not need to request those. You can go and pick one out if someone you know needs to be wrapped in prayers at this time. If you haven't made it to Sunday school yet, you're late. I'm just kidding. I can hear them downstairs a little bit, but they must be quiet today. So we will do that. We have some announcements this morning, so let's get to those. The first of which is, again, what's happening here in the fall. We will be having a Disciple Fast Track Bible study, and it's fast track because it's 12 weeks instead of what they used to do, which was 32 weeks. That was a big commitment, but so is 12 weeks. It's some amazing reading, some amazing commentary. You're going to learn a lot. Bruce and Pam Kummer are going to be leading that study for us, and so that's going to start on Tuesday, September 9th. Please sign up so they make sure they have enough books for everyone when the group starts. Also starting in September on Tuesday the 16th will be the Journey Through Grief group. I will be leading that group this time. It is a small group where we do some things about remembering the loved ones we've lost. We learn a little bit about grief and patterns that happen, and how we can incorporate and work through our grief together. So please sign up for that. You can do that also on the connection cards. New member classes are coming up. This is an opportunity, even if you don't think you're quite ready to join, this is a great opportunity to get to know the pastors, because they'll be leading this, but also who we are here at First Church, besides our usual little tagline you get on Sunday morning. Some of the things that we do here, why we're so focused on mission. It's just a good way to learn about this church as a whole. So please consider being part of that on Sunday, September 7th and 14th here at the Brighton campus at 4:30. And then lastly is Bounce Back Sunday is coming up. Get ready, folks. It is fall. It did feel a little fallish this morning in those cool temperatures. So I'm sure the kids are not happy about that. But we're going to get them ready to go. We're going to fire them up, bless their backpacks. Kindergartners and third graders are going to get Bibles, a very important time in their faith development life. So please, if you need to register someone for kindergarten or first grade, make sure the front office knows that you'll be here again so we make sure we have enough for everybody. And then following the service, there will be a bounce house outside, and so we're going to give the kids a chance to show us their stuff as they burn off some energy, but also just add some laughter. I have a note here that says, if there is rain, there will be no bounce house. Kind of self-explanatory. Hopefully they won't be bouncing in here. Those are our announcements for this morning, and so I'm going to ask you to please rise and join in singing our opening hymn, Lord, Speak to Me.
Lord, I ask you to reveal any idols in my heart that I may not even be aware of. Help me identify the things that have become more important than you. Give me strength to break free from anything that competes with your love and purpose for my life. Purify my heart and restore me so that I stay focused on keeping you at the center of my life. Amen. Please be seated. There we go. Scripture reading this morning, there are actually two readings this morning. The first is from Psalm 20, verse 7. Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. The second is from Exodus 3, verse 6. He said further, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Women's Choir. That was absolutely wonderful. And I got to follow that? Thanks. God is good. All the time. We're going to talk about technology today. And I'm really excited about this because of the fact that it's kind of taught me quite a few things about technology. I'm not sure why John and Lindsay asked me to do this one other than the fact that I have probably 2,500 followers and friends on Facebook. And I think I need to be taught a lesson. So, we're going to go with this. Would you join me in prayer? Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the inspirations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who gives us life. All right. Jessie's my daughter. She was visiting one day, and we're in the kitchen, and we're talking, and I'm whispering. And she says, why are we whispering, Dad? I says, so the government won't hear us. She laughed. I laughed. Alexa laughed. Siri laughed. Okay, Google laughed. So we had a little technology thing there. The definition of technology is the use of scientific knowledge for practical purposes or applications, whether in industry or in our everyday lives. It includes everything from the wheel to computers to medicines to zippers and buttons on clothes. Some of the technical things that we've had over the years. 3.3 million years ago, the first tools were made. They were rocks that were formed to cut things and beat on meat and tender up the meat and stuff like that. 3.3 million years ago. Man discovered fire 1 million years ago. So that means that 2.3 million years they had their meat raw, but after they got fire, then they could cook it. Some of the more important things, I think, that were invented throughout the years. In 1804, the first coffee pot was invented. I hate to think what life was up until 1803, because I know a lot of people that until they have their coffee in the morning, could be rough. Sewing machine was created in 1833. The first typewriter was made in 1873. In 1961, the first commercially successful electric typewriter based on the spherical type carrier design was introduced by the International Business Machines Corporation. International Business Machines is actually IBM, but it sounds more impressive if I said it that way. Betty Nesmith Graham invented whiteout, which she originally called mistakeout. She developed it in 1951 while working as a secretary and struggling with mistakes in her electric typewriter. She could use this liquid paper to change her, to cover up her mistakes on the typewriter and go back. She later renamed it liquid paper and went on to build a successful business around the product, eventually selling it to Gillette. Now, I don't know if you recognize the name Nesmith, but her son was Michael Nesmith. Does anybody know who Michael Nesmith is? Yeah, a couple people. He was one of the singers from the Monkees. The tall one with that stocking cap, that was Michael Nesmith. It was his mother that invented whiteout. In 1876, the first telephone was invented, a far cry from the iPhone and the other phones that we see today. The iPhone was released in 2007. The first iPad tablet was released in the United States on April 3rd, 2010. It was initially unveiled by Steve Jobs in January 2010, with pre-orders beginning in March. Steve Jobs, who created the iPad tablet, passed away in October 5th, 2011. Now, I don't know if this is a true story, but it's a good story. When Steve Jobs got to heaven, God found him. He says, okay, I want you to meet somebody. They took Steve Jobs over to meet Moses. And God said to Moses, this is Steve Jobs. He's here to update your tablets. The very first plane flown by the Wright brothers was on December 17, 1903. Wonder if they could imagine that the first moon landing would take place on July 16, 1969. So we went from 1903 and the very first flight to 1969, and we got people walking on the moon. In 1972, Nolan Bushnell created a video game and called it Pong. He basically wanted to teach one of his employees how to create video games, so he said, we'll make this very simple video game. It'll be like tennis. Two paddles, a ball going back and forth. He was just to show him how to make video games. As it turned out, they put one in the office, got real popular, and next thing you know, it was in pretty much all the bars in the city. And I don't want to tell you why I know that. His company, Atari, went on to create many more video games and was the beginning of video games as we know them today. And they're widespread and just going crazy. Now, Nolan Bushnell sold Atari and he was under a non-compete clause, so he had to figure out what to do until he was allowed to do stuff like that again. So he went out and got pizza one day. He's sitting at the pizza parlor with about four or five other people sitting in the waiting room waiting for the pizza. He said, well, we need to find something for these people to do while they're waiting for pizza. So he created a new company. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Chuck E. Cheese. The same guy that invented Atari created Chuck E. Cheese. The first gas-powered car was created in 1892. Henry Ford released the Model T in 1908. Look at the auto industry today. Computerized cars that can drive themselves. I thought it was a big deal. The first car I got had power windows. I didn't have to crank them up. Computers. Steve Wozniak created the Apple I in 1979. The Apple I was originally supposed to sell for $500. Steve Wozniak did not like round numbers, so he talked to the company. He says, let's raise it 30%. Let's raise it one-third. He says, okay, let's raise the price one-third. One-third up from $500, the Apple I computer sold for $666.66. My first computer was a Commodore VIC-20. Had 5K RAM. 5K is not very much. I thought it was a big deal when I moved up from the VIC-20 to the Commodore 64. I thought, man, this ain't going to get no better than this. 64 was great. And then I found the life of other computers. These are just a few examples of progress in technology over the years. I want to take a step back right now. In the beginning, the world was dark, watery chaos. But when God filled it with light and life, then God created mankind in his image and gave him tasks. Without human work, the earth would be a wild, chaotic wilderness. God gave us the ability to create things and make the world a better place to live, to make the earth work for us. Form, build, and be fruitful for God's honor. As we wait for and work towards this ideal with God, it is natural to assume that tools and technology will be a part of this. Technology is not just iPhones. It's anything that applies scientific knowledge for practical purposes. Tools and technology help us live fruitfully, to shape and enjoy creation. But with technology comes a danger. Just as tools make it easy to do fruitful things that honor God and his original intentions, they also make it easier for evil to grow. If there ever was a relevant time to pause and ask where technology could be idolatry, it is now. The past 100 years have seen what is probably the most massive and rapid explosion of technology our world has ever seen. Tech sometimes makes us feel like we have godlike control over our lives and the world. But let's be honest, don't we think, have you heard what they're doing with virtual reality and AI? Just think with me for a moment about the state of our world. On any given day, social media encourages us to keep track of followers and friends. Problems arise when we are trying to gain an influence, more followers for ourselves than for Jesus Christ. We are called to make disciples of Jesus Christ, but maybe using social media is not the best way. Sometimes we need to just put the computer away and talk to people. The definition of idols. In the Bible, an idol is anything that replaces or is elevated above God in one's affections, devotion, or worship. It can be a physical object, like a statue or an image, but also encompasses non-physical things like money, power, or even other people. Essentially, anything that takes the place of God in a person's life is considered an idol. Take an honest evaluation of the amount of time you spend using technology each day. Compare that to the amount of time you spend studying the Bible and in quiet time with the Lord. What do you do more? There's probably no one in this room that's more guilty of that claim than me. That's probably why John and Lindsay figured I would be a good speaker on idols versus texts, partially because of my time on Facebook. So what can we do to make it better? Make a list of at least 3 ways that you and your family can decrease your amount of screen time and increase the time you spend with the Lord. Share that list with small group members, friends, or colleagues and ask them to keep you accountable. For me, that would mean set certain times of the day to read scripture, get involved with Bible study times, or just sit and pray. So we aren't here to say that technology is bad. Many things are easier in our life because of the advancements of technology. What we need to do is be careful about the obsession with technology. I spend a lot of time on Facebook, but I do it for relaxation and for fun. When Facebook stops being fun, I will quit. There was a time when people said we spend too much time watching TV. And maybe that's true, but we need to be careful with the amount of time we watch and the content we watch. I heard a guy talking on TV one time that he wished there was an intelligent button on his TV so he could turn the intelligence button up, make the stuff coming out of his TV a little bit better. There's a brightness button on it, but that doesn't seem to help at all. TVs, cell phones, computers, all items that we can use to improve our lives, but they're also things that can take over our lives as well. It's not the technology that's bad, but sometimes our obsession with them that can hurt us. That's when we need to set those things aside and look to the Lord for help. Spend a little bit more time talking to God. Maybe I should set times that my computer is only used for work or for Bible study and restrict the time that I spend on Facebook. When my kids were growing up, they had limited times that they were allowed to be on the computer. Maybe I should go back to those times and only allow my play time on the computer during certain hours and certain times, and set the same amount of time for reading scripture or studying my lessons. God gave us the world and all the wonderful things in it, but it's important for us not to put those things ahead of God. In 7 days, God created the heavens and the earth and all the things that are in it. And he said it was good. But remember, God is good. All the time. God created the world and gave us dominion over it. God gave us the ability to create many things to make our life easier. But it's important to remember the source of all those good things in our life are Him. And remember to spend a little extra time with God. He deserves it, and we will be better for it. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we know you created the world and all there is, but help us not to put the world ahead of you. We want to remember that you love us, and we want to show our love to you the same way you show your love to us. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
I'm back. It's been 2 Sundays in a row. Can you take it? So today in my prayer, I was focused on one of the verses that Bob read for us today, and particularly the part that said, Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. And I was interested because I thought, what are some other reasons why we hide our faces or hold our heads down? And I remember, I know this is going to shock you, but I remember when I was very small, I would hide not only my face, but my whole body behind my mom. I was very embarrassed. I was very shy. I come from a long line of shyness. So I hid my head a lot because I was embarrassed. And then as I grew, I would still hide my head, but a lot of times it was because I felt anxious. I have a lot of anxieties. And then, interestingly, I started to realize that I didn't want to hide my face anymore. And then I started to come to church more. And then I came here, and I worked in the AV for a while. I'm still behind the scenes, but I was getting out there a little bit more. And then I started to play in the band, and so I was up here. And in the last, I don't know, year maybe, I realized as I was playing the tambourine, and you can't really hide when you're playing the tambourine. I mean, you can try to hide behind a music stand, but I mean, you can't hide all this behind a music stand. So I realized that you're up here and you're watching everybody. I mean, you're kind of in a unique position when you're up here because you can see everybody. And I noticed that some people, when they sing, they hold their hands up. And I was like, okay, I'm not really sure if I want to do that, but I feel sort of like I want to do that. And so every once in a while, if you're here at the 11 o'clock service, you'll see my left hand like coming up a little bit, like because I want it to be there. So I think God throughout the years has worked me from a very shy girl hiding my face to now I'm getting out there. I'm shaking it and I'm holding my hands up to Jesus. So that's where my prayer came from today. Let's pray. Lord, hear this prayer today as we sit here opening our hearts and minds to you. Our week has perhaps been filled with many ups and downs, and we need this time to be with you and collect ourselves, assess the damage, celebrate your gifts, or do all at the same time. Help us to stay focused on keeping you at the center of our lives. Our verse today told us that Moses hid his face as he was afraid to look at God. Fear is an emotion that we can all relate to, but there are many reasons why we may hide our faces. Lord, all of these reasons should have us looking to you instead of hiding from you, for you are our rock, our forgiver, and the one that accepts us unconditionally. Regardless of why we may be hiding our faces from you, we pray that you help us to uncover and hold our faces towards your light instead. We may hide our faces to conceal emotions and hide our true emotional state. It can be an unconscious reaction to avoid vulnerability. But Lord, you are the one who knows all of our vulnerabilities and helps us to turn them into strengths. You help us to see the weaknesses within ourselves and then find compassion when we recognize them in others as well. Help us to show acceptance of others, regardless if they are different from us. We may hide our faces when we feel ashamed or embarrassed. But God, you already know what we have done. And we come to you to pray for forgiveness and cleansing. You give us your grace. All of us have something that we are not proud of. Help us to not cast stones, but instead to give grace as well. We may hide our faces in anxiety and insecurity. We fear judgment. We pray to you to provide peace, strength, and a source of comfort and hope. We give our worries and anxieties to you to help us to trust in your plan and experience a peace regardless of understanding the full meaning of what is happening. We pray to you for those people suffering through illness, hardship, disaster, and loneliness. We pray for those with daily stress and worries, those that are anxious and uncertain about how and where their needs will get met. We pray that you help to open our eyes to those needs of people beyond ourselves. We pray for those people that are too overwhelmed to do it themselves. but you are there for all of them to help provide for all our needs. You help us to be strong, creative, and hopeful for others in their time of need. We pray for those lives touched by violence and terrorism and loss. Help us to be a safe place for those as you are for us. Finally, we are praying today for Nancy, Lisa, and Jacob, that they may receive our prayer quilts and feel the peace, hope, and comfort prayers that we have said over them today at this moment, but also when we stop to tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign the card. May today we not hide our faces, but lift them up to you so that you may shine your light deep into our souls. And now in silent prayer, we lift up our prayers and concerns to you. And now let's join our voices together and say this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Check. I'd like to call the ushers forward to receive our gifts and offerings today. If you are a visitor here, this is your first, maybe second time, know that your presence with us is the blessing that we appreciate the most. And so don't feel obligated, maybe other than the connection card and the prayer notes, to please put something in the plates as they go by. But also, I want to thank you for any inconvenience that our construction projects may have been causing. The parking lot is done. It looks great. The new awning is over the preschool entryway to keep our little ones dry and safe. We continue to work to make this place both physically and emotionally and spiritually a place of welcome and hope for all who come this way. And so I want to thank you now for all the gifts that you have given and will continue to give to keep this church alive and serving God. Thank you.
Lord God, we pray that you will keep us from temptation and give us generous hearts with you at the center. Bless the offerings we bring today and use them for mission and ministry so that others can be lifted up and know the great joy of living a life with you. Amen.
God is good all the time. Technology is a wonderful thing as long as we learn how to use it properly. Don't turn away from God so we can turn ourselves to our phone. Set the phone down, talk to God, and you might find out a few things. Go now knowing that God loves you. He always will, and there's nothing you can do about it. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.